Hello everyone, this is Ashish. Welcome back to our podcast. Today we are having Tracy with us. Tracy has spent over a decade in the modeling industry. He initially started in 2009 with women management, then spent around 6 years in elite model management, and spent 2 years in Asia, and then recently was a director of scouting at One Management. And now, I don't really know, Tracy, you are starting something on your own. Please explain. And by the way, thanks for being over. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for even giving me the opportunity to be on your podcast. So thank you for the wonderful intro as well. So yeah, I think now I'm just focusing on, as you mentioned, I've spent a lot of time in the modeling industry. And I just think, just with current events and just like with the climate and the landscape of the world, like everything else is changing. So I'm looking now to maybe do, like, I think now what I've seen from speaking to freelance models and just talent in general is that I don't really think there are enough platforms or enough outlets for people to really express themselves in a way that managers can learn more about them. You know, just like, I think it's very surface and very transactional. Mm-hmm. As it is now. And I just feel like from what I've been seeing from clients, the clients are starting to get a little bit tired of, you know, surface and transactional. They want something with more of story and depth. And I just feel like as it stands, there's no way for you to really ascertain the story or the depth from these like little micro meetings. So I'm trying to figure out a kind of way to really give more eyes to the talent and really allow themselves to really kind of sell themselves to these agencies that they want to be working with.
Like a few weeks ago, we were talking, you were saying something related to the whole landscape of modeling industry is changing significantly, right? And since you have been over here before the whole boom of social media, like 2009, even YouTube was not popular, right? And now we have like YouTubers having a standalone brand, right? they're bigger than a lot of brands, actually. So how has that changed modeling industry? And if possible, because a lot of our audience is not that aware of this industry, maybe you can also explain how it was before or how it has transitioned now.
So I think historically, and you know, social media, I do think is the main catalyst for the changes that are going on. I think historically it was very much so like, maybe you had a friend that used to model, or maybe like you knew someone that knew an agent somewhere, and it was very like, matter of fact, being like chance encounter type of situation. But I think now with social media, there's so much more access. And I feel like because of that, you know, anyone that has any kind of aspirations to entering into the field can directly try to chase that. And they know who's available, who are the people that they should be contacting. They know who those people are. So I think that in a way kind of made people lazier. Or the scouts, you know what I'm saying? Because you have so many people like throwing themselves at you that it starts to make it that, I don't know. It's just weird. Like there's just too much access. And I think before to it, historically, it was also like you would find a manager. And like, let's say you're from, you know, middle of Nebraska, just somewhere not really fashion adjacent. You would have like a little bit of experience, like they would take you around, they would work on your runway, maybe work with you in front of the camera to build up your portfolio. But nowadays it's like you're sitting at home and going directly to the agents in New York. So there's no real training. And I think in a weird way, it's kind of also like depreciated the actual skill of modeling.
Right, because
I feel like before people was, you know, like when you would look at models before, they were like 21, 22, but have been modeling for like years before they really made their debut. Or if they were discovered, they were like working. I don't know. I just like the development's not really there where it used to be. And I think it's starting to really manifest itself in like, you know, I speak to a lot of models that can't find agencies. And I feel like they're not getting signed, not because they don't have the potential, but because they're not even at a place yet that the agencies can really, you know, market them or really monetize what they have going for them. And because they have so many different people sending themselves to the agencies, there's really no value in developing someone that's not ready, when you have, you know, like Charli D'Amelio and all these girls that are, and boys and non-binary that are getting like 10 million followers in the middle, in their home. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just kind of changed it up a lot more. I mean, before you were really dependent on like conventions and traveling and doing all that. But nowadays it's all about emails and social media.
So, yeah. So do you think that the whole art of modeling is being tarnished because actual models are getting less opportunities than the influencers with so many followers? That's what's happening.
I wouldn't say tarnished because I think like, I feel like every time there's change, people are a little bit scared. If anything, I think it's making, I think it's going to lead to like a revival of like the supermodel or just like a new kind of iteration of it, because I think like it's not enough anymore just to be a pretty face. And I kind of love the influencers putting pressure on the models because you got to be able to do more than just smile in front of a camera. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to speak. You have to be able to really, you know, talk to the clients and like just really be professional. And honestly, I think as of late, that's something that's been lost. So I kind of feel like the influencers kind of stepping in and putting the pedal to the metal is kind of, you know, telling the girls to wake up and get back to work. So I don't know. I think it's always good to have competition. And I think the influencers themselves too, like, you know, that's a word sometimes that I feel like is very weird. And I think it's a word that maybe is going to go out of style soon as social media continues to grow and it actually becomes like looked at more serious to be on these platforms and really be talking to people. Because I think that term influencer, you think of like TikTokers and dancing and da 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 da. But I think honestly, it's evolving into more than that. Like I think you would be remiss not to have real estate in the digital landscape, irregardless to what it is that you do.
Right. I guess it is one of the tasks or maybe something that every model will have to be trained now to manage their social media profile and accounts. I was also thinking like 10 years ago, 100% of the advertising budget of every brand was going some other way. But now that is shared by social media influencers. So obviously there will be some competition over there as well. But also what I've been seeing is that there was an era of 2014 where people who had nothing else to do got into social media, and that's where it was exploding. But then you'll see like people like Andrew Huberman, Jordan Peterson, people who are very accomplished, they're educated, they have been professors, and like UFC fighters and professional actors and models that... A good example would be Romy, who was a professional model, and I do not know how much she works professional, but she has a huge, huge YouTube channel. She shares vlogs and all. So I think that ultimately people will be paying attention towards credibility, and it's just that you will have to spend some time on social media. Right.
And it's smart, and it's a good skill. I mean, you know, I feel like even with social media, a lot of the kind of core skills that I think you need to do well at, to, you know, succeed with it, are core skills that I feel like can be translated to other parts of life too. Like, you know, consistency is one that I think is really good with social media, and just really like a little bit of self-reflection too. You know what I mean? You look at yourself making all this content and you really do have to ask yourself, like, what am I putting out there? What is it doing? Does this make sense? Does that work? So I think it's kind of good. Like, I like it actually.
Yeah, at least from my perspective, I found a lot of benefit out of social media that I just got a voice. I was a normal engineer. I just got a voice in front of thousands of people, which was not possible at some point. It's just like I was talking this day to a friend the other day that it's almost like everybody has now a part-time job of managing social media, and you have to do it. But also the frustrating part, I get it. Like you do it for like 6 months straight, it works, and then you leave it and it's gone. So it's like continuously you have to keep on doing. Right. We are going to get more into this, but first I want to know your story, like how you got into it and what was the in between the lines, what happened all across. So I want to know your career, how it began. Let's go at that.
So I'm from the Bronx, New York. I lived here all my life, well, except for when I was in China, obviously. But, and I started in the industry, I feel like I was like 19, pretty sure I was 19. And I was just like, I was going to school. I was going to Hunter, which is uptown, and I was studying art history. And honestly, I was just feeling like kind of burned out from school. Like, I went to a really competitive high school. I was like always in school, always in school. So I was like, let me try to get more internships so I could get more credits, so I could graduate faster, because I wasn't really into like the internship type thing when I was in school. I don't know why I was like really indecisive. So I was on a website and I saw that women was looking for interns. At the time, no, I wasn't so into fashion like I am now, but Jenny Shimizu, who's like a supermodel from back in the day, currently too, she had posted it and it was a familiar name to me. And I didn't know about the agency. I didn't know anything, but I knew that her name was recognizable. So I was like, okay, this must be legit and cool, blah, blah, blah. So then I just started interning there. And you know, like, it was a brand new world for me. I mean, typical like intern duties would be bringing the models to castings, like helping them get settled in, putting portfolios together, like just kind of really like clerical stuff. And I kind of just learned the ropes from there. So I was supposed to start off as an internship, and they offered me the job as an assistant. But at this time, I was still going to school. And to be honest, I didn't want to take the job initially. But then my grandfather was like, you're getting health insurance and it's a full-time job and a salary, you better do it. And I'm still 19 at the time. So I was like, whatever. So I did it. And then, like, I was like, oh, I'll just keep it for a couple months. But then I just stayed with it. And that was a really exciting time. I was at Women for almost 3 years. And, you know, Women is a huge agency. It had some of the top supermodels. I was working on a division that was more like commercially adjacent. So it wasn't like we were working with the high fashion girls, but originally that's what it was intended to be. But then as it went on, we found like, you know, we started some really top girls like Harry S. Paul, Aimaline Vallade, Anna Evers was on that board for a brief period at the beginning of her career too. So it was really exciting. And then from there, typical agency politics type of stuff, my boss and some other members from that team at Women left to join Elite Model Management in New York. And I'm still relatively new at my career. I was like an assistant still. So I was like, whatever, I'm just along for the ride. And then I went with my team from Women direct over to Elite. And then I was there for 6 years. And I feel like there is where I really came into, like, I do development and I do scouting. So basically what that job entails is you're meant to find the models and then kind of like polish it and help them learn what's going on and get them ready so that they can kind of see those first initial clients. So typically, you know, I would work with them on their runway, work with them for dressing and just like taking them around the castings, get to know the city, teach them a little bit about the industry. For Fashion Week, I would take them to like the shows and all that kind of stuff. So that was a really fun time. And I'm still in my early 20s. So it was a cute job. You know, I'm with models, going to parties, industry events. So it was really fun. Traveled the world. I was scouting. So I went to so many countries like that I feel like I would have never been in. I was in Poland, you know, France all the time, Canada, Australia, you know.
To scout models?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I stayed there with that. And then that just developed, obviously, finding good models along the way. And then, I don't know, I just had like a period that I kind of felt like I just felt a little bit stagnant. And I wanted to like move around and just do something different. Like I said, you know, I started this when I was still like a sophomore in college. So I was kind of just like, what else is out there? And also, too, it was something that I didn't really intend to go into. So I was like, okay, I want to switch it up. And I don't know why. I like a weird thing that I don't like to do the same thing. So I didn't want to leave Elite and go to another agency. And I didn't want to stay in New York. So I was like, let's go somewhere different. And so I chose China. I was like, what would be like the most different thing to go to? And like, but also too, like, obviously I still try to think for the long term as well. And I knew it was a market that a lot of people were getting interest in. They had a lot of money and a lot of people from the West don't really understand how it works over there. So I was like, the most different is where you can learn the most. Mm. And so I chose China. And out in China, basically I was acting or working as a consultant for a lot of Chinese agencies to try to help them pick models from China that would be best fit, as I saw, to go to the West. So that would be like Europe and New York. Right. And so I was like going to a lot of contests all over China, Shenzhen, Beijing, Xiamen, like all around, finding models and like just helping agencies scout models. And that turned into, they started, I don't know, I think a lot of brands started seeing the buying power in China. Mm. And as such, they wanted to do fashion shows in China. Mm. So then I started consulting with casting directors that didn't know the market that would come with these shows to China. And then I would be in charge of scouting locally for these bigger brands. So like we did, Dior was out there. We did Prada. Dior was with Michelle Lee and Prada, Ashley Brokaw, and like Miu Miu with Anita Bitton. These are casting directors, like the top casting directors. So that was a really fun moment. And I got to kind of see the other side as like a client. And like, you know, my whole career would be kind of polishing up the models to present to the casting director. So it kind of was weird to be on the other side and seeing so many models I had known coming in for the castings, all that stuff. So it was cool. But I think, you know, China's not the easiest country to live in. And
that's what I was going to ask. Like it would be a completely different world for, because I think the least American things can be found in China, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's so many, I just like the mindset. Because it is a totally different country. Like, it's a homogenous country with, like, so far away. Obviously, I'm black, too. So I stick out even more there. But I loved it, though. It was really, I feel like I learned so much. I felt at home. I made so many great friends. Mm-hmm. And it was a really great experience. Actually, I'm going to China in a couple of weeks from now to talk about some projects. So I'm excited to do that. But it was a really great experience. But I had to come back. And then it was funny, though, because when I moved back, and I had no idea, I actually moved back right before the pandemic.
COVID, right, yeah.
So it was weird. Like, I kind of say it was like a blessing in disguise because I had no idea. And if I would have been caught out in China during the pandemic, I think it would have been a much trickier situation.
Oh, right before. I thought that first the pandemic happened, then you decided to move back. Oh, okay.
I think I came back January, and right. I feel like everything started getting crazy March,
yeah.
So it was good.
And why did you decide to come back then?
I kind of felt like it was, like I had done it and it ran its course. Like, I got the experience. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Made a lot of great connections. But I feel like I don't like to overdo things too. Like, it was great. I didn't want to stay there until it was bad. You know what I'm saying? So just kind of like cute. Got a new network, got a new base. Mm-hmm. And now I could come back home and relax and think about what I want to do next. And then I started at one. So.
Right, right. Did you learn the language over there in China?
I spoke a little bit of Chinese before I went there because I took it in college.
Okay.
But I feel like it was weird because I felt like I was babied a little bit because obviously they know me from working at an agency here. So I feel like a lot of my circle around me were a lot of English speakers. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have to use it as much as someone might have that would have just been there and like going to school or studying. Da, 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 da. So I do kick myself sometimes because I should have been able to take more advantage of the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is.
Yeah, learning languages difficult, right? Especially when it sounds completely different. So what next? During the pandemic, how did you see the industry change? Did it change or did it completely shut down 2020?
It completely shut down for a brief moment. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of just, I feel like during the pandemic, it really kicked into motion that whole like, what are we really, like, what is necessary? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, do we really need all of these people in the studio? Do we really need to fly this model? And can the model shoot themselves? Like, I think it kind of really showed a lot of other possibilities. It also showed, like, how some things that may have been written in a rule were a little bit antiquated. Like I feel like a lot more now agencies allow you to work from home. Like there's still some agencies that only come to the office 3 days a week still. Mm-hmm. Cause they realize it's not necessary to be in. So I think like things like that were interesting. Also too, like, and I know it sucks to say this, but I think a lot of agents, like you kind of really saw who was worthwhile and who was bringing what to the table. Mm-hmm. Because during the pandemic, the bookings weren't as, right. You know, as plentiful as they are now. Mm-hmm. And I really think it was really about, okay, which models, who can really, you know, get their things together. So a lot of people were laid off. A lot of agencies switched up. I still feel like agencies are still recovering from it. Mm-hmm. But I think it also, too, is like, because I think another issue that's happening now is that I feel like people are also seeing what they can do themselves. Hmm. So you saw a lot more of like independent agents. You saw a lot of smaller agencies opening up. Hmm. And I feel like it's really making it a little bit difficult for these bigger agencies. Because I feel like to do the job that's required, you don't really need all of the pomp and circumstance that people put around it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need these huge travel right. budgets to scout. You don't need to fly business to go look for models. Like, you literally could sit on your phone, go on Instagram, get a supermodel. And I think people started realizing that and started hiring and firing accordingly.
Right, right. Same thing, like, the concept of work from home never completely ended with the whole lockdowns. And I'm seeing this, like, because I'm trying to explore the book publishing industry a lot, but it's, like, very surprising that similar things are happening over there as well. The publishing houses, few of them are shutting down, few of them are merging, because the writers just now have more options, because if they have a following, they can just publish it by themselves. So. Right. Similar things. Do you think that because of the pandemic and all these avenues opening, that was another thing where social media influencers kind of took a share of the market?
I think it was going to happen eventually anyway. Because I think this just kind of made it faster. Because I do feel like, I don't know. I just feel like the whole landscape of the world is changing and like people's values. And I think people are a lot more sensitive to what's organic and what's truthful and what's real. And I think like, you know, fashion has always been so aspirational and like mask and like tons of makeup, a lot of photography. Like it's just very like layered. And I think people want that stripped back. And as such, I think, you know, people aren't just blindly following people like they used to too. Like these models really do have to have something to say. They have to have like a cause. They have to have something to stand for. And I feel like with the pandemic, people like kind of focus was just really because they weren't doing anything else. You know what I'm saying? So like they, I don't know. I think it's been good overall. I mean, it was obviously the pandemic was terrible, but I think it's good now that people are being more serious about who they're representing and who they're marketing and what they're pushing. And like, I don't know, I think it's good for the industry, but definitely influencers really had a good come up with that little stint.
You can answer this as much as you want to, get in deep as much as you want to. But since you have been in the industry for so long, what were the or are the dark sides of the industry? The politics, there's some models who are suppressed. Do these things happen?
I definitely feel like obviously anything that's kind of adjacent to like this whole kind of like rock and roll and fashion stuff, there's always going to be dark sides to it. I also feel like anytime you have something that's tied to the ego. And that's what also too, I try to talk to the models about, like at the end of the day, it is a business. But I don't know. I just feel like, cause some models I see are so desperate to be models, like just to say that they're a model, that they agree to do things that maybe they wouldn't under normal circumstances. And people that are gross out there prey upon that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get into specifics, but I mean, there's a lot of unsavory people out there that, you know, wait in the shadows. And it's really sad, you know, knock on wood, and thank God I haven't had that many experiences with anything too dark. Because for me, it's always been like, I'm like, they say, like, I'm like a crazy, like, mom like my models would always say, because I was always on top of them. Going to the models' apartments, check in. What is going on? Where are y'all at? What are they posting on social media? Don't be hanging out. Who are you hanging out with? Like, I was very on them. So I didn't really think that there was an opportunity for them to kind of fall into those crowds, at least under my watch. Obviously, these are people too, so they do what they want. Mm-hmm. But in the industry, it's definitely some unsavory types, I'm sure you could imagine.
Right. I don't really know much about the way the industry works in America, but because of Komal back in India, because she was doing freelance over there, I got to see really, really bad things. There were agents, fashion designers, they were just straight up hinting stuff on phone call. And they are smart to the way that they don't directly say anything, but everybody knows what they're trying to say. But what I was getting at is that maybe because of social media and models actually getting a voice, because so far models were mostly face and they were representing a brand. But now that they have a voice, maybe there's a solution or things will get better for models.
You know, I don't really know. And I think, you know, unfortunately, I feel like there's always going to be some kind of darkness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think it just evolves. I mean, it's one of the things of life. It's about balance. You know, like, you can't have good if you don't have the bad. So I feel like I'm so happy. And I do think, you know, I'm really happy with this wave of people speaking out and really, you know, championing for themselves and defending themselves against these people that are crazy. But also, too, another interesting thing that I also feel like people don't really talk about is some people are weaponizing that, too. You know what I'm saying? True. Because it's also the type of thing that it is, as I said, it's something that's dealing with ego. And some people don't take rejection kindly, you know what I'm saying? And on the flip side, there's a lot of people that'll, you know, people play about it after the fact, but there's a lot of people that'll do a lot of strange things for some change. You know what I'm saying? They won't admit it, but they do it. And then when they don't get what they expect, then they try to turn back, you know? So it's just really weird. But I don't know. I just really hate that part of the industry. And I always tell my moms, you know, first and foremost, your self-worth is the most important thing you have. Like, this is not the end all be all. It's not that serious. You know, obviously I love fashion. I love everything that it's done for me. But I feel like if at any point, and I always tell my models this, you feel uncomfortable or you feel like something's not even right, even if you feel like you might be bugging, you call me right away and you remove yourself from that situation. It is never that serious.
With the models that you've worked with, you have ever given them tips to take care of their mental health? Because a lot of models, a lot of times, get lonely, and because of that, they face some problems. Is there anything you tell them?
So, prior, when I was at Elite, you know, we would have psychologists and therapists that we would refer to models to if things were going on like that. I always just try to tell the models, you know, it all starts from within. Obviously, you know, and this part about it, but it is just a fact of the job. The models are, you know, they treat it like products. And my thing is like, if the inside isn't good, the outside ain't going to be either. And it's like a weird thing. Like, I always feel like clients, when you meet so many models, they can kind of pick up on your energy. And I always tell my models, your energy is always going to be off if you don't take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Mentally, physically. I was like, it's not about dressing up in head to toe Prada. It's about, you know, staying hydrated, getting 8 hours of rest, taking care of your mental health, reading, exploring, you know, not only basing yourself too. Like, I would always tell my models as well, I love a model that's in school and, you know, doing part-time school, doing part-time modeling, because it kind of gives you something grounding to keep you in the real world. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's a lot of what happens too. And a lot of the problems that come in modeling stem from people that are too young, not really knowing themselves, and then being tossed into this industry. That's really crazy. It's a lot going on. And, you know, it's not the real world. Like, it's really few other industries that someone who's very young, like 17, 16, 18, could come in and make a couple thousand dollars in a day. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not sustainable for the most part. I don't think it's sustainable. Like, I have to always tell my models too. Here today might be gone tomorrow. You know, save your money, put it in. And I don't know. It's just so many weird things that I feel like is wrong. Like, I also think like a lot of the models that start don't know how to manage their money. Like, there's been so many times I've seen the models gag when they got to pay their taxes. And it's like, yeah, baby girl, you gotta pay all this back. And sorry too for the listeners. I always say girls because I've only really represented female models. So yeah. I'm so used to calling the girls, and they're all young, so I call them the girls. But this is for everybody. Don't know how to manage their money. You know, a lot of them are living on their own for the first time in New York City or crazy. You know, like, it's just a lot of things going on, and I really feel like the models really just need guidance. Like, they might try to act grown and all of this, but a lot of them are still kids, you know?
Right. And how long would you say, on an average, a career lasts for a model? Like, it won't be more than 5 years or so, right? On an average, if you say?
Wait, hold on 1 second, I think. Let me start my camera one more. You were right, it is a...
Right, 30 minutes, right? Yeah. 30 minutes flew by.
That was quick, huh? wait, what was the question? Sorry, babe.
Oh, no, I really forgot it.
How long does a career last?
Yeah, on an average.
So for me, it's like, that's a hard question to answer, because I kind of feel like, when does it really start? You know what I mean? Because there's some models that they start when they're 17, 18, and nothing really happens. And then maybe they'll try again when they're 24, 25, and then it hits off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's so hard to make...
Like full-time, if they're doing it full-time. Because a lot of times I've heard this happen as well, that the value of the face decreases. And over time, they keep getting less and less in work. Does that happen too? Because you're the expert,
I think that's like oversimplifying it. I don't think that's ever with it. It's because you have to think too, like, models take a great picture. There's some models that have amazing faces, blah, 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 blah. But it's more about the face. It's the personality. It's the whole thing, the ties, the associations, I mean, an average model, I don't even think 5 years. I think 5 years is a little bit long for most models. You know what I'm saying? Right, because I think it's not really a consistent job either. It's not like before, you know, Linda Evangelista, I don't get out of bed for less than this and that. That was cute, but I don't think that's the real... reality of modeling nowadays. Like, I tell my girls, you need to be doing something else, because you would be silly just to be sitting here depending on this check. Because, like, let's say the client loves you today. There's so many times models go see, you know, they do fashion week. Every designer likes them. And this is also an issue too. Every designer loves them. Everyone's like, oh my God, you're a star. You're so beautiful. Next season, they go doing fashion week, expecting to do all these shows and don't book anything. That's so mentally like, such a game, because then it's like, what did I, like, nothing changed about me. So what really, it's just one of those things that it's like, it's not that simple.
Yeah, so that's the point that I was getting at. Like, same goes with fighters or sports athletes, that their career is not really that long. Like, you're not having a career like which is 30 years long as someone who is an accountant would be having. So that's what I was saying, like you said, that have an education or go to school or do it simultaneously. I think when and if this career chooses to go to a full stop or a comma, then you have something else to sustain, right? I think that would also keep you from going in wrong direction just to get jobs, right? If you have a backup. Makes sense. Yeah.
And also too, I think it's more expensive too, because the thing is like, if you only have so much time to do something, then you can't do everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, so cheap jobs or silly jobs or things that don't make sense, you can't do them. So it kind of helps you stay elevated too, because you only have so little time that has to count when you actually use it for that. So I always think that's the best. Always. And also too, I just think it makes models more interesting. I don't, like, to me, that I've always found weird is these young models on set, because what are you talking to them about? Like, the makeup artist isn't 19 years old, the hairstylist isn't 18, you know what I'm saying? These are people in their 30s and 40s. So for me, it's like, I think also too, like, nobody feel like talking to no kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, 25, 26, I would prefer to speak to someone that age on set too. So I don't know.
Right, they're more interesting, right? And also, I would say that brands would love them because they represent something else as well. Since you have been all across the world scouting, did you ever got to India?
That's like, honestly, that's like number one on the list of places I want to go so bad. But I haven't been yet. And I really feel like India's about to be like, have a huge moment because you saw that they just did the Dior show there too, right? And I feel like so many agencies have been going to India to scout models. So it's definitely a place on my bucket, well, not my bucket list, because I want to go soon. Hopefully I could go before the end of the year.
So if you go to India, or if an agency goes to India, do they like do an open call like that?
So typically in all of these countries, you have like mother agents. So if I was going to India, what I would do is I would email all of the agencies that I know in whatever city I'm going to. So like Mumbai or whatever, I would go to Mumbai, I would email all of the agencies there. And then what they would do is they would have a casting, bring all of their local talent in to meet me at the agency. Because I feel like an open call wouldn't really help. And I especially am one that's really about get signed in your country, because it's just too convoluted to have to deal with the visa process from America, from someone. We don't know, you know, I don't know how the politics go in India, what the process is like, and blah, 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 blah. So for the most part, we would only go through agencies when we visit.
Oh, okay. So like there would be a mother agency and then some agency which will be. So, but still, like, how would an Indian citizen be able to work in, let us say, United States of America? I don't know of any visa that would be working over there.
So India luckily actually has like a pretty good fashion market. So a lot of the models from India, typically they work locally and like really build up their brand from there. And I think they usually start in London or Paris. Once you kind of do the circuit there, you see that you have the potential and like clients are picking up, then what they tend to do is try to place the models. They call it placing when you give a model a new agency in a different market. They would reach out to New York agencies, or New York agencies would start to reach out to the Indian mother agent if they saw them on like a runway in Paris or something like that. And then they would kind of figure it out. Then from there, the visa that agencies always do is the O-1 visa, which is the exceptional talent. So hopefully by then, you know, we usually say 50 to 80 tear sheets. So tear sheets are like the pages in a magazine, but now it's more just like 50 to 80 pieces of press. So whether it be like you're on the runway, or like magazine editorial, or like PR, like some kind of marketing campaign, or maybe you had like press written up on you, compile all that, as well as recommendation letters from clients that you've worked with, and bank statements. Like, it's a really arduous process, actually. Submit all of that and then send it in. And then they would get the visa from there.
Right. So you're saying, like, first work in India with some Indian agency with which you will be working with. Then maybe go for Paris or London. Is the visa, getting visa over there, easier for someone who's from India?
I think I'm pretty sure it is. Like, I don't really know the process, obviously, because I'm American. But I know it's nowhere near as crazy as the U.S. And I feel like also it's just cheaper, too. Because then it's like, there's also, I feel like the way that the markets are set up, too. Like, America's really like a money market. Like, this is where you go to kind of make your money after you've done like the press. So like, let's say you go to Paris and you do like a Saint Laurent show and you shoot for Vogue and then you will come to America because you want to work with these clients that have the big budgets. So at that point, to come to America to be competitive, you already kind of need something under your belt. So it's better to try to see if it's even worth it, because obviously too, like 3,000, I think the visa costs like, I don't think it is, around 3,000 to 4,000. So you don't want to put down 3,000 to 4,000 and then get here and be like, oh, I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? Or, oh, it's not working for me. Like, so go to Paris, figure it out. And then if it's cute and you make a little bit of money, then you can say, okay, this is something I can really work with. Let me try and go to the U.S. That's one way to do it, though. But some models, because also too, India is, you know, it's a weird thing, because what people consider beautiful locally, and this was a big thing in China as well, Okay. What Chinese people think is beautiful is different than what, you know, a white American thinks is mm-hmm. a beautiful Chinese person. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. it will often be like the models that, you know, like the European clients would love so much would actually not be a beauty standard in Asia. Mm-hmm. So they would be famous outside, but not famous in. Or if they got famous in, it would be because they were doing the shows, but not because people thought they were beautiful. And then all of the models that they thought were beautiful mm-hmm. in China, everyone outside didn't think they were, so they couldn't place them. So I feel like it was like a disconnect because they're like, oh, these are stunning models that we're sending yeah. and nobody wants to sign them.
Yeah.
But it's because the beauty standard is different in different places.
Right.
I say all of that to say a lot of the models that, because actually there's some models I know of from India can't find agencies in India
yeah.
because
yeah.
they don't, that is not really right. that beauty standard, but they would work well in America uh-huh. or in Paris, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's yeah. weird because you don't know what to look for, especially if you like a lot of mother, obviously the mother agents are Indian and they've mm-hmm. grown up and, you know, raised in India. So you can't really see what you don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I completely get it. And I'll tell you, like, even in India, different parts have different standards. So mm-hmm. so someone who is going super hit in southern India might not find that much job in the northern side.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who would be, like, rejected by every agency in India will find agencies just looking for them in America, right? And from that side, I can say, like, there's not much market for skinny girls and boys
mm-hmm.
in India. Like, they're looking for... you can just look for the models that you will be seeing over there. Mm-hmm. Other than few agencies, right? For example, Inega, Anima, mm-hmm. these are again placing girls and boys in US again. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But yeah, that's really true. And I think it is highly influenced by the culture and also I think the film industry because ultimately that's the biggest industry that sets the beauty standards, right? But I have to ask you, like, someone who is beautiful according to the common public might not be best for the fashion brands, right? Because what body type, what body type will be perfect on which you want to, like, display ultimately clothes or accessories? Isn't that what you're looking for?
I think, yeah, who's going to sell it the most. Also, too, I think there's a level... I always laugh mm-hmm. about this, but I feel like you went to skinny models too, so you don't got to pay so much money on the fabric. You know what I'm saying? Cut down on the cost with that. But, yeah, it's a hard thing. And, you know, that's why also too, I kind of try to tell the models too, don't beat yourselves up so much when you can't get placed. Cause to me, you could think someone is cute today and not think they're so cute tomorrow. You know, like, it's so, like, what is it really based on? It's all mm-hmm. fake. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so subjective. And whose eye really is the one that counts? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
when people consider beauty, I don't know. I just think it's so weird. I always laugh because, like, even Aishwarya Rai, who I think is one of the most stunning women in the world, I feel like if when she was a bit younger and sent her pictures in, she couldn't even get an agency in New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's possible. True. I have to ask you, like, since you've been doing it for so long, like, this is literally what you do, right? You look at a person and see if that person can do well in modeling career or not. So what do you look at? Because this is like the question from, you must be getting this like on a daily basis. I know that. But let's discuss it over here as well once and for all.
I think for me, it's more like, this is going to sound silly, but it really is just, I don't know, you meet so many people
mm-hmm.
that, when someone stands out, you have to ask yourself why. You know what I'm saying? So for me, mm-hmm. it's not necessary that I'm looking for something per se. More or less than it's just gotta be. Because to me, it just needs to catch your attention. Like, I don't know what it is about certain people that makes them magnetic or makes people attracted to them. But there's mm-hmm. definitely something there. And I think for me, it's like, if I'm sitting in a meeting and you can't catch my attention like that, then you can't sit with the client and catch their attention. You know what I'm saying? So it's just really, for me, it's just the feeling and the look. And it could be so many things. Like, I don't think every model's beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I think for me, it's less about beauty and more just about catching the attention. Because that's what it is about. You know, like, when you look at an ad campaign, you know, most people think a model is supposed to be the most beautiful person, so that when you look, you're like, oh my God, who's that? Or you have other models that have like weird features or like severe features. It's supposed to capture attention so that you look at what they're selling. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's just about, you gotta stand out. And I know people always ask me, well, how do I stand out and how do I do it? But for me, it's like, if you don't, you don't. And you also, you know, standing out for one person might not be standing out for another person. You know, like there's been times that there's models that I think are stunning and never work. And models that I would be like, that I'm like, oh, I don't know about that, and work all the time. You know what I'm saying? And I've been doing this more than 10 years. So if I, you know, like it's always going to be something that you just can't. And that's what I tell the models too, don't get stressed out about it, because honestly, things could change in a split second. Also, too, there's a level of, you know, it's a fake industry too. Like, you know, like someone will go in and then everyone be like, oh, not for me. The next day they'll come out on the cover or something, and then you'll get emails from them saying, people, oh, hey, babe. Oh my God. Oh, is that you on the cover of Italian Vogue? Oh, we would love you. You know what I'm saying? It's like so disingenuous like that. And it's like, well, I don't look any different than I looked yesterday, but now you want me. You know what I'm saying? So there's just more factors at play. Like it's just really about the way you set it up. And that's why I really push that, much less worrying about the look, you should be worried about the narrative. Like if I'm going to sell you, or if anyone, if you're looking for management, if you're looking to become these stars, you have to ask yourself, why would someone book me over this other person? Why me? You know what I'm saying? And I think more often than not, a lot of people can't even answer that question.
Right. Right. Like you're saying that it is mostly on the basis of instinct that you know, you just know. Do you think that from the perspective of a model, even though the scout might not know, but model can create something as an X factor, working on their personality maybe? Or do you think that it just comes from uniqueness or unique experiences? Any idea?
I don't know if it's so much so about coming from the model, because I also think a lot of what people deem as beautiful is from their own experience. So that's also too that, like, you can't do so much. Like if someone doesn't think you're pretty, they don't think you're pretty. And I don't think that it's about that. I think for me, if anyone really wants to go somewhere in these like artistic endeavors, it should always be grounded in some part that is, you know, feasible or like tangible rather. Like if you know you want to be a model and you can't get signed, then you got to build up your followers. Like then you have something to bring to the table to be like, well, I do have 100,000 followers now. That's my proof in the pudding, because like I can sell this product to my fans, this other person can't. And that's kind of more of a short thing than thinking, oh, this person might be pretty, let's put them on the picture, I hope it does well. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like rather than like cutting the hair and trying to lose the weight and people would be better and probably more effective if they just sat down, thought about what they like, figured out how they could share that with people, build a fan base, and then try to monetize that fan base with whatever it is that they want to do. Because that's what it's about. It's about money. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Do you think that the personality of a model also plays a huge role in terms of like communication? Because it is ultimately an industry of networking and connections. Do you think that matters, or is just the scouts or people who are booking in the jobs that their connection matters?
It's so important, because I feel like there's been so many times where you would get beautiful models. Because beauty, too, you know, beauty is just one factor in a person. You have some people that just are really inconsiderate, you know, late, sloppy, you know, dirty, maybe not so good at public speaking. Because a lot of the times, too, I think it's like it needs to be like the perfect connection of someone that has the look, but also someone that understands the business and knows how to play the game a little bit. Like who to laugh at, who to smile to, who to be phony for, who to do. And not everyone has that. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times you get the smarts, the EQ to really kind of deal with people. And I've seen so many times, you know, you bring someone with a beautiful face and they just can't get it, or like they'll squander the opportunity. A lot of the times too, these younger models especially are brought in before they even really realize the world. So, you know, like they'll be like, oh, I don't want to get on that flight, or they'll stay out partying and miss the flight for a huge job. And then the client doesn't want to book them. And then, you know, it's like in the back of their head, like, damn, but they're young. You know what I'm saying? Like they need to make mistakes. But unfortunately for them, these are some costly mistakes sometimes. So I say all that to say, I think the personality is a huge factor.
So coming to, because of all of these, I was asking these questions because of this single question. And this just might be a bigger question in life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how much is the luck factor that is playing over here? Because a lot of things, there's nothing fixed, right? You might be looking good. You still might not be making a good career. You might be paying attention to a social media and it might work, it might not. Because you have seen so many, I would say hundreds of models across your career, and who make it big and who don't. What do you think? How much role does luck play over here?
I think luck is a huge role. Luck and timing. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, even when you think of like just a simple casting, you got to be lucky that you're going to go in and the casting director's in a good mood. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. there's so many interactions that are just so up in the air, like, you never really know. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's why, too, I try to tell talents to give themselves some grace as well, because mm-hmm. it's impossible, you know, and I tell models as well, like, if anyone sits here and tells you that you're definitely going to get this job or you'll definitely do that booking, your red mm-hmm. flag should be up, because no one's a psychic and there's nothing in this industry that you know mm-hmm. definitively, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's luck is a huge factor.
Hmm. Are my questions repetitive? Because I know that every now and then you do live sessions and you get so many questions. I tried my best to stay away from the tattoo question and the height question, which you get all the time, right?
As long as you don't ask me that.
But I will ask a question related to that, mm-hmm. because nowadays there's an inclusivity of all sizes of model. And this is something that I started to notice when I got to America, that when I see a catalog and when I see, let us say, a dress selling website, and you see mm-hmm. all size of models now. But still, on the open calls, what I can see is that there's a height limit for a lot of cases. And it's like mostly 5'7 for girls or 5'8 for girls and 6 for boys. Why isn't there any inclusivity over there? Or they're just hypocritical.
So for me, I kind of see it from this point of view. And I totally understand that question. I think the business model of an agency is they make a percentage off the jobs that they book for the talent, right? And mm-hmm. I feel like because of that and because of the length of the contracts, it doesn't make sense. Like, you don't confirm models just to do one booking or two bookings. You confirm models that you think could have a career that would mm-hmm. constitute getting them under the contract. So obviously at a modeling agency, one of the biggest jobs is wearing clothes and doing fittings. And it is the fact that sample size is in a very specific range. Now, mm-hmm. for us, if you don't fit that range, that's already a huge swath of clients that you can't work for. So if our whole point is for you to have a career and you already can't work for 60% of the clients, that already puts you at a disadvantage. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think for them, that's really the thinking. I think it's also, too, it can't be so open, because then they would just get bombarded. But I think like they do, like all agencies, they will sign, and take my word for this, agencies will sign anyone who make money if it makes sense and if it's elevated.
That's what they're
So if you're 5'2", if you're 5'1", if you're 4'9", they will sign you if the clients are booking you. So like I tell models mostly, listen, if you're too short and you see mm-hmm. these agencies putting it up, you just got to work a little bit harder. You just have to have a platform, mm-hmm. or you just got to have come from a direction that there's something to market about you, because you're not going to get in for fitting the clothes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Right, right. All right. Now, I have to ask, like, according to your career, why do you think social media is important for you? Why do you have a YouTube channel? Why do you have a TikTok presence? Which I must say, your TikTok, it's hilarious. I love them.
I'm working on it. It's so hard. I can't say that I love it, but it's mm-hmm. definitely been a learning process. I think it's so important. And I feel like the reason why I've been trying to get into it more is because you just need to stay competitive and you need to stay mm-hmm. relevant. Like, if everybody else Like, I just feel like I would be remiss to just be sitting behind a computer checking emails and doing that. Like, you got to be more proactive about going there and kind of trying to, I'm trying to get the right word, but like to wrangle these talents and try to get them signed. I also feel like, too, nowadays, people, especially the younger generation, to me, seems a lot more independent. And I don't necessarily know. Like, a lot of these creatives, like, I've had creatives tell me straight up, oh, no, we don't want to sign. I'm doing fine managing by myself. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like for some of these talents, it's like if you don't go after them and if you don't have these platforms to go after them, they wouldn't even sign. Another thing, too, is that I feel like I think it's important, as I was saying earlier, to have kind of real estate on that landscape, because I think there's so many nefarious type people that lurk in the shadows that I feel like if you don't have some kind of representation up on social media, people don't really know to trust you or not. Like, I think it gives me a lot more credibility that you can see that, you know, I've been posting content about modeling for the past year. I'd say, you know, I'm not really a scam. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just kind of important there too. And just to stay relevant.
What's your plan? Because are you trying to spend more time making content on YouTube or maybe start a podcast in future? Any plans for that?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, it's definitely, I don't know. I still feel a little bit weird about it. Like, I'm not as young as I once was. What? So it sounds a bit, to me, it's still, and I think I'm kind of getting over.
You're younger than Joe Rogan.
Right, that's true. But to me, it seems kind of ridiculous to like leave my job to like start doing content. But I definitely think I'm interested into learning more about it. I do want to do a podcast because I do love like the interaction. I feel like you learn so much more. You get to see so much more from people when you see them in conversation and see how they feel about things. So it's definitely something that I'm considering. But I don't want to say just yet.
People are looking forward to it. Those who want to build a career in modeling, this is what is missing, you know, that there's no proper like podcast or YouTube channel which really takes charge into this. And this is what I was talking about to Deepthi as well. Like, even if you have spent like 5 years in this industry, you have so many connections. You have connections in every corner, and there are people who are just trying to get in and they don't know that well, right? Even like, you can get so much information on getting into a college, like what degree you want. There's so many people guiding in that domain. But this industry, I think, is kind of the last industry where professionals have not taken the podcasting or the social media full-fledged, because I'm seeing this in mixed martial arts, I'm seeing this in baseball, basketball, film industry. There's so many actors, they're starting their own podcasts, but models, not as much. So that's also like, there used to be a time where there was no one teaching photography or videography or sound and all on YouTube. And then people like Peter McKinnon came in, and now everybody got in. And then that space got just blocked. Now it's extremely difficult. Yeah, oversaturated.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, I kind of feel like sometimes, I don't know, because I know there's models with YouTubes, and I always feel weird about the models with the podcast and the YouTube talking about their situations, because I feel like, honestly, it's so, each model's career, like, I you know, one of the big things that I always tell models too is don't compare yourself to other models, because there really is no like kind of regular trajectory for a model's career, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like just the basis of a model on YouTube talking about their career already in and of itself, it's valuable, but it's only so valuable because you can't take someone else's career and duplicate that for yourself. And I feel like there's so many weird things that happen along the way. Like, there's some models that come in from off the street and the next day they're doing a top show. Then there's some models that have been doing it for 3 years and can't get one book in, but then all of a sudden get it out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I think, so I'm saying all that to say, and then on the flip side, the professionals, that work in the industry, I feel like they're so scared to talk and say something wrong and be canceled. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That's true. But isn't everybody scared? Like, everybody, I see that everybody secretly wants to make a presence in social media. Mm-hmm. But then again, everybody is a little bit, I'm scared. Like, I'm scared mm-hmm. to say a lot of things. Like, oh, is this going to get me in trouble? Oh, my God, are they going to? Yeah,
it's crazy. And they'll cancel you over the silliest things too, like taken out of context, or they're like, they'll take like a little clip or something that might have been a bigger argument on a bigger scheme, but because they cut it mm-hmm. into this little thing, it right. now looks crazy and stupid, you know.
What's worse, know. You know, they're going to now pretty soon do deep fakes and make you say things that you didn't even say, right?
It's so yeah. scary. But yeah. I think, you know, too, for me, I think it's really funny how I think things are kind of going back. Like, I think now it's really going to be important, even though social mm-hmm. media, I mean, even though the internet and all of this, like, this digital place is mm-hmm. kind of like being formed right in front of us. I do think it's important to do things in person. And I think things are going back kind of to like putting more mm-hmm. priority on like in person and like going out and like actual events. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, an hour flew by, but I have to ask you one thing at the end. Like, what's next for you? Because I know that you recently stopped working with One Management. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you would have something in your mind. Would you like to share something about that?
So I'm definitely, you know, I love One, and it was such mm-hmm. a great experience. You know, the team there is amazing, and I love my models. But I've just been, you know, I've been doing the lives, and I've been doing a lot of, I don't know, I just feel like I've been talking to talent more. And I just do feel like the industry is changing. Hold on 1 second, because it stopped. I just think there's like a need. I don't know, like, you know how there's like so many conventions? Like, they have like these modeling conventions. And I think a lot of models aren't feeling seen, or just talent anyway. Like, there's not enough platforms that are sincere and actually care to help people kind of launch these careers for models to kind of get involved in. So what I'm planning to do is I want to kind of have like a showcase and really kind of like do like a curated type of situation, give the models a like kind of brief one overview of what to look for, how to take the digitals, how to do the runway, and then actually introduce them to managers mm-hmm. that could possibly, you know, work with them, so that if there are things that they need to work on, or maybe, you know, you need to, you know, strengthen this up a little bit more, they actually have someone with them that could walk mm-hmm. them through it, and then hopefully place them at an agency thereafter. And also, too, I just think, because, you know, there's a whole bunch of schools and all of these things, but I just think people are getting a little bit too crazy with these. Oh, yeah, well, you know, $500 for Polaroids, and then $1,000 for this, and then $10 for that, and then $20 for this. Like, it's just becoming too transactional, and people aren't really caring about actually helping out the talent. So I really kind of want to do something that really just, like, I don't know, elevates right. and kind of streamlines that little bit of pipeline.
Right, and I think that you being in this industry for so long also gives you that instinct, like mm-hmm. what's not been done so far. And would you like to talk about what's coming up in this July, I think? It's in New York, 15 July, right?
Oh, no, August.
Oh, okay.
My contest?
Yeah, I'm talking about that.
Yeah, so basically what we're doing is I'm doing a showcase. So I'm going to start looking for models, influencers, and musicians. Basically, the way that it works is you submit an application, and I'm going to select a quick, short, not quick, but like a small kind of list, maybe about 40 or 50 of the models. And I'm going to mm-hmm. invite them in to, we're going to do a panel Q&A. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to mm-hmm. sit with everyone to do like a one-on-one consultation just to kind of see where they are. Walk-in lessons, Polaroids. And then that afternoon, I'm going to have them meet with the industry professionals. For the musicians, they're going to come in and audition for us. And then whoever the judges pick will perform. And we're going to pay the musicians to perform at the showcase. And as well as the models can win money. So it's not like you're just submitting it in and not getting anything out of it. But also, too, hopefully they could get signed and meet managers. And then we're going to be doing that showcase on August 26th. In New right. York. And then I hope to like travel around the country and do them thereafter, but the first one's going to be in August.
That's great. That's great, Tracy. I think I have all my questions out of the way. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Sheesh.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. I'll put all the social media links of Tracy down in the description box. You have something to say before we end it? No?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. And it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was really awesome talking to you. And you answered all my questions with full patience. Thank you so much for that.
Of course.
All right, guys, Art is a weekly podcast. We are going to see you again next week. We are having a second podcast by the name of Momentum. The language is Hindi. If you prefer that language, we are on it. And all the important links will be down in the description box. See you next time. Till then, bye.